is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See Live Off the Record with Chirago Lang is brought to you by City of Hope, Conet Bahamas, Dunkin' Donuts, Kelly's Home Center, Pindertal, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, Raw Star Assurance, Southwest Plaza, and Star General Insurance Made Simple.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chirago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call on the show today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. First of all, today, let me express publicly my deepest condolences on the passing of Mr. Henry Bostwick, a gentleman who has played a consequential role in the politics, in the legal fraternity of the Bahamas, a gentleman who my earliest acquaintance with him, even though his name had been law for me for a very long time, my actual interaction and acquaintance with him came when my mother, along with himself, was appointed a senator. He then being the president of the Senate and she being a senator, and just the opportunity in that environment to interact with him. And then, of course, when I became a cabinet minister and was a colleague of his dear wife, Janet Boswick, then, of course, during socials and otherwise, we'd interact. Never have I had Mr. Boswick that didn't intrigue me, really. I mean, honestly, his clearly intellectual birth was something to behold. His passion and deep conviction about the things about which he talked about. He was not a flighty fellow at all, but you know, and was somebody who highly regarded works of excellence and intellectual excellence and that kind of thing. And his place and space in our history is settled business as far as I'm concerned, and I know that his family will miss him dearly as such a significant figure in that Boswick clan. And I've had the occasion to speak to a couple of them and express what I'm expressing now in terms of my condolences. But may his soul rest in peace. We have been exposed now on a couple of occasions to significant fire events in Grand Bahama, in Nassau. I think the most significant fire event that I saw or experienced up close in the Bahamas was the fire at the Straw Market back in the, it would have been in, maybe I was in cabinet at the time, when that Straw Market fire happened. And from that time, I remember Darrell Miller, for example, the late Darrell Miller. That's right, it was in 2001. The late Darrell Miller lamenting the inadequacy of the fire response and the like, and it was an issue back then. And here we are, 24 years later, and we are still lamenting the adequacy of the fire resources in the Commonwealth of Bahamas. With this present circumstance that took place there by Victoria, we're building on East Bay Street near Elizabeth Avenue, caught a fire. And the notion is, by according to reports, that there was ineptitude, that's a quote, incompetence. And the fire responds to the extent that the claim being that the fire truck arrived with no water or nothing. That's what they, that, you know, that's what I'm reading was reported. I don't see how that's possible, but I wasn't there, so I don't know. There's always the claim that the response isn't rapid enough, and then not adequate enough is often the claim when we have significant fire events in the Bahamas. One person says, and quote, "I don't want to criticize anyone, but I saw everything unfold with my own eyes. The incompetence, total incompetence. If they came an hour late, they could have saved an hour late. They could have saved the building," says that one person. This one says one fire truck pulled up and then a second fire truck pulled up. They both sat there with their hoses out with no water going through them, and it was a good 30 minutes before they decided to take one of the trucks and take it to the dock and get water from the ocean. This was Rob Davis, a businessman, saying that. Says, and so that all being done took probably about 45 minutes before they actually started shooting water onto the fire, and by that time the fire completely engulfed the first building. So it says that person. His text says, what was really frustrating, I mean, not text, well, the, again, this report, what was really frustrating was at the beginning, the two trucks were just sitting there. There were firefighters standing building just just leaning on the rail like nothing. People were just walking around casually, not in a hurry to do anything. His report says Craig Flowers, who owns three units at Victoria Court, said the statement from authorities that they had all resources in place to effectively battle a blaze does not square with what he saw at the scene. And he said he arrived at the scene. This is Craig Flowers of FML. Says he arrived at the at Victoria Court around 8:30. I don't want to let's read a little bit more. So defending the work of the firefighters, one of the fire services official said that he insisted. He says this, the report says, what people fail to understand is that we have three trucks. One takes 1,000 gallons of water, the other takes 2,000 gallons of water. Now that 1,000 gallons of water or 2,000 gallons of water won't last forever. Once that water is finished, the truck has to replenish. There were no fire hydrants in that area, so we were trucking water from the sea. He says, I'm pleased to confirm that the fire truck that responded to the Victoria Court fire came from Lyndon Pinckney International Airport. Asked if he described the fire department's response to the fire, asked to describe it, he said, we responded effectively. Most definitely, we always need more resources. Yes, we could have had more resources, which is the reality of it, but we made good with what we had and stopped that fire from spreading east and west on Bay Street. These fire events, as in many emergencies that happen in the Bahamas, are always causes for pause on either side of the debate and dialogue, because firstly, these are emergency events, fire events. And they are always fraught with real passions, you know? Passion by the people who stand to lose something, lives or property. Passions by the people who have responsibility for trying to ensure that that loss doesn't happen or is minimized to the greatest extent, and now know what will happen in the aftermath of the event. So there's always of the divide. We are even not unique to that. In California, where those fires raged and destroyed homes of multimillionaires, people like LeBron James and them who had to, his home wasn't destroyed, but he had to move out and go in a hotel and live in a hotel and be in a hotel for a little while. Others got their homes destroyed, but many had to leave. There were calls to her. There were talks too about the inadequacy of resources and the responses and so forth and so forth. So these are always high emotion events, always, right? And if you are on the victim end, like, you aren't trying to hear anything much, because to your mind, an emergency requires an immediate response, and an immediate response in your mind is what? 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, not 15, not 20. On the other side of it, where you're the fire station, this is the job you do. You get a call. What is your reasonable response time? Does it not depend on where the fire is, what the circumstances are? Because maybe there are preparations required for a hazardous fire versus a different kind of fire and so forth. And what is, and when it comes to what is the truth, like, look at this situation. Look at this one right now. Residents or owners are saying, I stood here and watched as they just stood around, no water coming out the hoses, and for a goodly little while before they went to the ocean and got the water. And then the fire official is saying, well, no, that's not what happened. We used what we got here in adequate time. We used what water we put out of the vehicles we had. And then once they were done, and he's right to the extent that, you know, they're not inexhaustive. Once they're done, we had to go get water from the ocean because there wasn't any water hydrant around. What is the truth? What is the, I mean, like, what actually happened? What actually happened? I don't know. I wasn't there. We only know what was and has been reported. But there are some things we do know. I think we do know. And when we come back from the break, we'll talk about some of those things that we know. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone, holla if you feel like.
Babe, you mosh the car?
I ain't mosh the car.
The lady run into me, marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, there, the Athlete's Foot, NBTC, Games and More, John Bullfine, Threads Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Winning on the court, just like investing, is about having the right partner. With our app's Advantage Plus brokerage account, you get exclusive access to high return securities, some yielding up to 7%, plus expert investment guidance. No need to chase every opportunity. We deliver priority trading, exclusive investments, and the lowest commissions, so you can focus on what matters most. Sign up for an RF Advantage Plus brokerage account today at rfgroup.com. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Get ready for the pre-Mother's Day sale at Conan Bahamas, April 16th to May 16th. 35% off everything in the store except the AC units. Enhance your home with beautiful new cabinetry, granite or quartz countertops, PVC and hurricane impact windows, beautiful porcelain tiles, vinyl or laminate flooring. It's a 35% off pre-Mother's Day sale at Conan Bahamas. All locations, Freeport, Nassau, Abaco, and Eleuthera. Open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. and on Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. From the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. Or you can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So let me please get what I think we know about our emergency responses in the Bahamas. It doesn't matter if it's a fire or some other major event. There's a couple of things we know, but let's stick with the fire. The first thing I believe we know is that there is inadequate public education about what should be realistic expectations about emergency / fire responses in the Bahamas. I believe that the government, the fire authorities, have a responsibility to educate the public about what should be expected from the emergency response machinery in any given set of situations. I think because right now, We have people who, see, the only way for you to be disappointed in the fire response is if you believe there is a particular period of time and a particular manner in which the fire people should respond. And why should you have that? Where do you get that expectation from? Well, ain't nobody give you nothing else, so you make it up. Maybe you saw it on television. Maybe you watch it in a movie. Maybe you read it in a book or something, and this is what your expectation is. Or maybe I just scared, too scared, don't want to lose my family, don't want to lose my home, and I just think they should be here right now. Well, ain't nobody else told you anything. Did anyone say to you, okay, we have a fire station in this sector of the island of New Providence as an example, or Long Island, or Grand Bahama, and if a fire is 5 miles away, the expectation for our arriving to that fire is 10 minutes, 20 minutes. If the fire is 20 miles away, the expectation, if it is in this particular location, because of this and that, the next thing, the expectation is this. If the fire involves a building of 3, 4, 5 stories, chances are X, Y, and Z. Nobody says anything. No one has educated the public. Therefore, you fill in the lack of information with your own expectations. Why not? So that's the first thing we know, is that there's no public education about what the realistic expectations are about getting an ambulance to any point on the island, in the case of any circumstance on the island, getting the fire, truck at any point in any given set of circumstances, nothing. And then we wonder why the public cussing all day long, because they think, wrongly or rightly, that something ought to have been the case. They don't have no information that helps them otherwise. Right? I used to do this long before now, right? Both on Grand Bahama and New Providence. I would walk, drive past a Atlantis, a Castaways. That's the big tall building in Freeport. Castle Bahamas. At one point it was the tallest building in the Bahamas, I believe. And I would say, this was when it was an active building now, when it had people living in, I said, if a fire happened, how reasonably could we respond to that? Given what I knew of the resources we had, not very well. I knew that. So do we have an analysis of what it would take to reasonably respond to emergency scenarios in given set of circumstances? Do we have it? We may. I don't know. We may. But it should be informing what our resource needs are. So we know that we don't know if we have that for Long Island, for our Auckland, for Crooked Island, for Eleuthera, for Cat Island, and so forth. We don't know. We know we don't know that. So we don't know what expectations to have of the current resources of the country. We don't know. Nobody's educated the public on it. No one has. No one has dared to do so, as far as I'm aware. Secondly, we know that we don't know what analysis has been done to inform what we should have available in any given set of circumstances. I do not believe that the Bahamas would ever, like many other countries in the world, be so fully resourced that you could imagine any emergency and we could just, boom, be ready and prepared and adequately respond to it in a way that makes people think, oh yeah, God, thank the Lord, we could do it. I don't know that that is true. But I know this is true. We could do a hell of a lot better than we're doing now. A hell of a lot better than we're doing now. I watch these professionals at the fire department. I watch them prepare. I happen to be able to see them operating regularly enough. I know that they would love to be in a position to do as much as they can do. But they are subjects, they are creatures of the provision of the state. Now, let me tell you something. You get mad with me. Because as you get mad at me, you have a right to be mad at me. You have a right to be mad at me, Ingram, this, and Menace. I leave it there because I get cut some slack for Selinden's era because I'm not all out of faith. Right? So I'm owning the blame for the Ingram administrations that I served in because let me tell you what is true. It is inexcusable. Inexcusable in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Inexcusable. That if there is an analysis that says we should have at least 10 fire trucks available to the emergency branch of the police force, the firefighting branch, if there is that analysis that says that there is no excuse, absolutely no excuse for not having 10 fire trucks in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, in New Providence, none whatsoever. Money, you can't tell, you cannot tell Shivago Lang, who has sat in the Ministry of Finance, that there is a reasonable explanation for not having the required number of police fire trucks. You can't tell me that. No one can tell me that, bro. If you could have a government wake up one day and say, you know what, we are gonna invest $20 million into a Junkanoo carnival. No provisions made for same in the budget of the Bahamas. None. None. You cannot tell me that you can't find money for 10 fire trucks or more. Can't tell it to me. You can't explain that to me. You cannot tell me that. Cannot tell me that. Cannot. Okay? You cannot tell me you could find $60 million to buy Alukaya, $30 million down, and the rest financed over a short period of time, and you can't buy 10 or more fire trucks. You could tell the public that. You cannot tell Shivago Lang that. I know that's nonsense. There is no reason to have, outside of trained, equipped personnel, no reason to have an inadequate fire trucks, ambulances, dialysis machines, and these kinds of things. There's no reason to not have them outside of you telling me if I get all of them, I don't have the personnel to deal with them. But in terms of acquisition, man, please, the government of the Bahamas, who could raise and find $300-$500 million in loans every single year, could explain that you can't have an adequate number. Listen, you're in the fire department. Let me tell you all something. If you don't have the resources you require in terms of fire equipment and the law and that, so it's simply because your administrations, the governments of the Bahamas, the government of the Bahamas has been unfocused and unwilling and uncommitted to delivering same. You know why? Because your emergencies don't happen regularly enough. That's what happens. So you are not on their mind until something happens. Then everybody crying. But it ain't no question of money, buddy. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361. Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Looking for insurance that fits your lifestyle and your budget? At Star General Insurance, we've got you covered. Whether it's motor insurance with flexible options for third-party liability and comprehensive coverage, or commercial insurance products that protect your business, we have choices you can afford. Own a home or renting? Our home insurance products have just what you need. And for the adventurers out there, we offer marine insurance too. Visit our website or social media pages for contact information and quotes. Star General, insurance made simple.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I want you all to be clear that today, as I talk about not so much this particular fire, but the series of events that have probably fermented in the minds of many the possibility that we do not have an adequate set of resources to meet the demands of these kinds of events in the Bahamas. That I'm not criticizing anybody. In fact, if any criticism is being levied by me, it's been levied on all of us over the years who have had responsibility for ensuring that the resources are in place for this to happen. So including myself, right? But we can do better, for sure. I mean, if you tell me if there is an analysis that says this is what ought to be the case in New Providence, this is what ought to be the case in Grand Bahama, this is what ought to be the case in Long Island and Abaca and so forth, and that there's a gap between what ought to be the case, I could say with certainty that the only reason why that gap exists is because of neglect or oversight or ignorance or, you know, something, you know. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Yes, good afternoon, man. I joined the show. Well, like I said, I'm in Colorado. Spend money, get the vehicles. It's better to have them and not need them than to need them and not have them, you know. So I mean, I think we needed these equipments a long time ago, and so I think we need to put things in place, priority place. So a fire engine is not a luxury, it's a necessity, especially when you need it. Thank you.
But you know what I'm not prepared to concede, right? I'm saying someone might well say to me, because I don't know and neither do you, someone might well say, listen, in a circumstance such as the Bahamas, what we need is this. And this is what a objective analysis of our needs are. And therefore, you could tell me, okay, well, that's why we never asked you for five more. But I'm saying, if the fire people came forward and said, listen, yes, we need two more here and two more there and so forth, and we need to be situated here and situated there, I'm saying the Commonwealth of the Bahamas not only should, but could do that forthwith. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to second guess anybody. I don't know what, I don't have any expertise in emergency response, but I'm saying that we could do this. I mean, this is not a challenge for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas when we think about where we're spending money all over the place, bro. And so what is our mindset that does this? I don't think anybody is trying to be incompetent, you know. I don't think anybody is trying to be neglectful. I don't think anybody is trying to overlook this. I just, like, when you are a person in leadership, you focus on what you focus on unless there is sufficient force to make you focus on something else. And for us, too often that force is a terrible circumstance that stares you right in the face that says, yeah, you screwed this one up because you didn't prepare. That's what happens. In the meantime, we're spending money over here to build that. We're spending money over here to hire that. We're spending money over here to do that. We're spending money over here to travel there. Call governance. We can build the new hospital over there. We can build a new clinic over there. We can build a new school over there. And in the meantime, that $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 ambulance, that $300,000, $500,000 fire truck and what have you, they can wait. Wait till when? Wait till something burn down, people get due, and then we just decide, yeah, now let's do something about it. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Yeah, good day, Mr. Lang. How are you doing today?
Good, man. And yourself?
Man, that's great to hear your voice again. Listen to me. Great show today. But like you said, Mr. Lang, there's no excuse. I mean, looking at it, no excuse not to have these fire engines. In fact, not yet, like you said, in the Commonwealth of Bahamas. You understand? Because that's, like you said, that's not acceptable anymore. Fire engines coming to scenes and not having sufficient, or they aren't working. In fact, if you drive around this town, I've started to drive around now, and I've seen less and less more fire hydrants within this country now. And the ones I've seen, all of the valves are now open. And it's just becoming to the point now where, what are we going to do? We're going to run the country, we're going to run it, or we're not going to run it?
Yep. I asked AI, what would a brand new, fully equipped fire truck cost these days, right? They say anywhere between, I mean, it depends on what you get and the size and what have you, but it could be anywhere from, $15,000 to $2 million. Obviously, you ain't getting no top of the line, nothing for no $15,000. But I'm saying, whatever the price is in that range, the governor of the Bahamas could find the money for 10, 20 of them in a flip of a finger.
I'm in agreement with you with that. Like, we're going to sit down and wait. And like I said, we just hope that it doesn't start again. Like, you know, homes start to burn, because only when your home is burning and you need the assistance of the fire engine and they come and they can assist, is when it affects. So we shouldn't be waiting on that. We should be all prepared now. And not just fire engines, but like, we're going back into the hurricane again. What are we doing towards that?
Mm-hmm. I understand, brother. I understand. You know, the people who are at the Ministry of National Disaster, National Disasters, and the preparedness and all this kind of stuff, I know what they're up against, man. They're up against politicians who, we will fine you $30, $40, $50 million to spend on these grandiose things. We trying to leave some legacy on, but these operational things, man, listen to me. Oh, we can't afford that. We can't afford that nonsense.
And another thing, Mr. Lang, I have noticed that, I don't know if you're familiar, off of Fire Trail Road, there are some buildings they build there. They sell water out of them, some real tin buildings that they can cover. And what amazed me is that we have the hurricane relief program out on Claston Road, and I'm trying to figure out why they don't buy covers that cover the equipment out there so the weather don't get it. So when we do need it, it could be in working form, because they have some very nice buildings at the rear of that area. They can cover our stuff. When you need it, you can take it out, and then you can use it instead of leaving it out in the elements. Like,
because when they ask for the money for it, somebody can cry, pour them out.
I mean, we ain't worried about the politicians anymore. Like I said, I don't want to hear anything but them.
You have to worry about them, because unless you're prepared to come up with the money, who else can supply it?
Well, they know where the money is, but they can find.
Well, that's my point then. You can't say you don't worry about the politician. Then you have to be worried about them, because they're the ones who have to come up with the money and spend it.
Well, they know where the money is at. They need to go and get it. They need to go and find it. It's about time. They know we need fire engines. Bay Street burned on the very first time, and they were trying to get the water. If you can remember years ago, and they said they had to put the pump, go to those fire perspective, and you ain't got sufficient water, then what are you going to do?
If I was Minister of Finance, and you can't, when I was Minister of State for Finance, ain't nobody never asked me for no 3, 4, 5 fire trucks. Nobody. But I'm telling you, if I were Minister of Finance and you came and you told me and you made a case for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 fire trucks, you wouldn't have me running around talking about no, bro, that we can't do that.
Yeah.
I might tell you can't do all one time today, but I can promise you by the next 2, 3 years we'll have all you require.
You gotta believe it. Like I said, it's getting harder and harder to do anything in our country. And for instance, like I said, fires started on Bay Street, the people said that they called, and Mr. Lang, believe it or not, people need to start to record these things, because everybody said it didn't happen like that. But honestly, when you call, a lot of times for the emergency, you don't hardly get these people to come. And when they come, they ain't efficient. Now, I'm not talking with equipment now, but we need to just take it in hand. What if it was your house burning and you need some assistance? What if it was the prime minister's house and he needed assistance? Come on, man. We gotta give to get, man. It's about time we start to do that in this country.
We appreciate your calling, my friend. Appreciate it. Thank you much. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this news break.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 on the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. You can text me on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, Mr. Lang, this fire reminds me of the movie Advantage Point. Everyone have a different truth from their advantage point. Yeah. This text says, hi, Z, real talk. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I do have a question. What has happened to the fire station that was on Fox Hill Road north of the prison? My thinking going to the airport for a fire truck was too far. I don't know, actually. I really don't know. But that is a part of the strategic planning that has to take place in respect of our emergency response. It's a where, how many trucks do you need? Where should they be located? And what is the aim? To put a truck in what time frame, distance from any particular event in a particular sector of an island of the Bahamas is really how you can plan toward a progressive adequacy of emergency responses, right? You do it in terms of, and of course, you, this is something that may have to be built out, because I'm not suggesting to you, if it's $100 million, you can cough up all of that one time. But let me tell you something. Ain't nobody coming to me to tell you, Vago Sean Lang, you cannot find money for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 fire trucks, ambulances, etc. You ain't telling me that. You aren't telling Chicago Sean Lang, who know you could have negotiations with the IDB and them to be able to do that. You can't tell me that. No, sorry, Bob. As a matter of fact, I can't see how for emergency equipment you can't put out a specific bond to the BAME in public and tell them, listen, man, I'm off on this because you ain't getting no money, good savings on your money now, sitting down in no bank. I'll give you 6%, 5% on this over 3, 4, 5 years and so forth. And so you could direct get the BAME in public, to spend $500 a piece, $1,000 a piece, and go buy them bonds for you to, so you could have all these emergency equipment handy and ready for the bump come well of the Bahamas. Tell me if I lie or I lie, but I'm BAME in public. See, that's a specific bond that they could get into. They could, but listen, man, I just invested in our own safety in the Bahamas. I just did that. Yeah, yeah, see my bond? Yeah, I got, I'm holding on that. See, yeah, now you see that brand new fire equipment? I helped fund that. It says the Bahamas is supposed to be a fairly rich country. Why is it the government... why isn't the government taking it serious to buy ambulance and fire engines for the country? Why does the prime minister think it's more vehicles for him to ride around and then we don't have enough fire equipment? See? It's Texas, I guess I missed it. Did you hear any statement from former Prime Minister Hubert Ingham on condolences to the boss with family, or to his good friend, former Senator Rodney Moncur? Actually, I think you should hear from him because he was away. It was the way I spoke to him not too long ago. So I think he was away. So I would be surprised you don't hear from him soon enough. This Texas, Mr. Lang, this, the turnaround time shouldn't even be a debate considering Bay Street had video footage to verify the truth. Oh, yeah? Well, then the press could get access to it then and be a scene. This Texas, this is 2025. You can even check the street cameras. Yeah, if there were some around, and there likely were, could have been. It's Texas, Chicago. There is a fire hydrant at the corner of Shirley Street and Victoria Avenue. We had to point it out to the firefighters because they didn't know it was there. Oh, sugar, don't say that. Y'all could lie on people, children, now. Come on. You know these fire hydrants, a part of the job of the fire department is to go and service them fire hydrants, right? So how do you not know what they are? If you're going out to a fire, aren't you going to determine, yes, in the event of need of replenishment, there is a hydrant right on said corner, blah, 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 blah. Man, come on. This Texas, is there a direct telephone number? Like 911, of course. You mean to the fire station? No, 911 is it. That's the coordinated way to reach all the emergency people. It's Texas. There's an international standards organization protocol for fire resources. We are far off from it. Best practices stated as 5 to 10 minutes. The resource calculations flow from that. Basically, if you have to wait for a fire truck from the airport to downtown, you have not planned properly, if at all, for a fire disaster. Well, I can believe that that is an accurate something. Says we need a fire and rescue department not connected to the police force. Why? I mean, I'm just asking why. I don't know, but I'm just asking why. It says, do you have a ladder truck for higher buildings? Do we have a lot of truck for hire buildings? I don't think so. I don't think so. None of the trucks I've seen seem to have that. It says the media was alerted at 9:30 p.m. Okay? So you are correct. We cannot explain that to you, but you need to understand this is what some of us do, that Simon Wilson and the Minister of Finance, Prime Minister Davis, does not take us having emergency vehicles as a priority. You blame him and them now? Says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. My concern is the proximity of the hospital to the recent fire. This is a time for the administration of the hospital to re-look at their plans for evacuation in the event of a fire. And are there drills in existence for the hospital? As a past employee, I don't recall ever being a participant in such an activity. I can tell you one thing, they are very important and should be had. Very much important. So Lang, the Bahamas needs an independent fire services with their own budget. I believe we are the last in the Caribbean still under the force. Well, yeah, well, whether they have their own budget or not, really, the money comes from the Ministry of Finance. So if the Ministry of Finance ain't coughing up the money to you in the police, it's on your own. What difference it can make? All you can be is on your own with inadequate money. it's about resourcing the force. That's what that's reality. I think that the emergency people. I remember when me and Ingram were planning the budget. We took a position on some things, right? Like, for instance, if the judiciary sent us a budget, with few exceptions to be questioning. That's your budget, boom, boom, you're financed, that's it. I think that the emergency people should be very similar. Outside of you thinking they're doing craziness, I think you should give them the money they ask for. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. This country is too reactive. We still haven't built any hurricane shelter since Dorian. Mm-hmm. So Mr. Lang, it comes down to two words, reactive, proactive, yes. Mm-hmm. Says, good day, Mr. Lang. All the government needs to do is buy some more fire engines. This country is building up poor excuse on them for not purchasing much more fire engines. Might need more than just the fire engines. I mean, you need to have a conversation with the fire people and get them what might be necessary to respond to various scenarios should they arise. Yeah, I see that Mr. Ingram issued a statement on Mr. Boswick. As I indicated, I know he was only recently, and so I imagine, in fact, I know that one on Rodney Moncus is it'll be on its way. Right? Anyway, hopefully each of these moments for us creates some momentum toward doing things better. So we will see this budget time coming up, you know. Budget time is coming up, Prime Minister, Minister of Finance, Minister of National Security. Budget time is coming up. One line item, fire trucks, $3-5 million, maybe $2-3 million, maybe 1.5. Ambulances, maybe 1 million. Dialysis machines. If the budget of the Bahamas is 3.5 in spending. $3.5 billion in spending. $3.5 billion in spending. $3.5 million will not be about 1% of that. That's what it might be, but 1% of that. You could do 1% for emergency preparation. Couldn't we? We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Chicago.
Let's
take some things into consideration. One,
mm-hmm.
there's this misunderstanding that the fire hydrant is there as a primary resource for firefighting, and it's not. It's basically a resource of water and sewage as a clean out on the land. The fire trucks that we have, the biggest capacity, I think, is 2,000 gallons. That could be gone in minutes. And those trucks don't have the ability to suck the water back into the tank from the hydrant because of lack of pressure, lack of infrastructure on the truck to do it as fast as it is putting out the water. So those things need to be brought to the attention of the Bahamian people.
Yeah. But just a minute. So the fire official, when questioned by the press, said, because there was no fire hydrant in the area, we had to go get the water from the ocean. Why would a fire official refer to a fire hydrant if it's not a source of water for them?
It can be used as a source of water, but that is not its main purpose.
Maybe not. I'm not arguing with whether that is, but I mean, it is a source. That's why he referenced it.
It's a source, but you got to understand, okay. The way the fire truck is set up, it would be easier and faster to suck from a readily available source like a lake or ocean.
From the hydrant.
Versus the hydrant, which is there's really no pressure coming out of there.
Right.
So the best case scenario is you open that up, and if it's in proximity of the fire, as the truck is outing the fire, water is going into the tank. And one is going to be eliminated faster than the next. The truck gets under extreme pressure, and that gets rid of the water faster than you could put it in from the hydrant.
So in the case of a large fire, it's really better to have just an adequate number of fire trucks, right?
An adequate number of fire trucks from where dispersed from various fire stations, fully loaded with water.
Right. But not to believe that if you have fire hydrants in the area, that's going to do it for you.
It's good for a single structure, something like that. But a fire the size of what happened at Victoria Court, no, don't rely on the fire hydrant.
Do those hydrants like once they're used, forget the pressure for the moment. Do they have a limited supply of water also?
No. No, they're tapped into the same source as the various homes. So, it's not a reservoir.
It's not a question of the amount. It's a question of the pressure.
Well, you have the same PSI going into your home as you have coming into the fire hydrant, and that ain't nothing to talk about. So you're talking about
I might wake my fire. Yeah, my fire. What you call the fire hydrant? The fire thing. The exhaust thing I'm using, like my emergency thing. I forget what you call it.
Oh, you mean the fire
extinguisher? CO2. My CO2 tank.
Yes. So, this is where we at. We need the type of truck that can suck the water out of the hydrant with added pressure to put it in the tank itself, in the truck, as fast as they can put it out. Other than that, the truck is useless in that sense.
I got you. I appreciate that. That's a useful piece of knowledge. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good day, Mr. Lang. Good day to the nation.
Hi.
Mr. Lang, doesn't our fire departments, when they go to a fire or something of that, don't they have recordings where they record the time that they arrive and the time that they would have extinguished the fire and stuff of that nature? I mean,
I don't know that to be the case.
Okay. Well, I thought, to my understanding, that whenever they recorded the time that it takes to extinguish the fire and all of that, it's recorded.
That could well be true. That could well be true. I don't know.
Okay. Now, but Mr. Lang, I saw one of the most recent fire, I think it was Friday, down there through the corner by the pink place. That fire started from someone burning debris in their yard. And that turned out to be a devastation. You know, I think one of the things we need to do is educate our people, especially during dry season, man. You should not be burning stuff in your yard and everything. Just find somebody to come and get the debris and take it to the landfill and stuff like that, because fires in dry season are very dangerous. My aunt's house just burned down off of Soldier Road because the neighbors were burning trash and debris in the yard and everything.
No, that's very dangerous. We have to be careful about
that. It is very dangerous. So we need to educate our citizens rather than, I mean, yes, we do need the equipment. I must say that we do need the proper equipment when it comes down for these fires and stuff. We do need the equipment, but we also need to educate our citizens, you know, that fires are very dangerous. You know,
you especially
you can't
need the equipment if your citizens ain't educated.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Has anybody ever done a study? Because, this may be a stupid observation of mine, but it is an observation that we have more fire election the year of election and before election, especially when the PLP is in power, right? It seems like we have more. Has anybody did a research or a study to say how many fires do we have when the PLP is in power versus when the FLM is in power? Because really and truly, when the FLM is in power, we don't we don't experience fires. Like the landfill, case in point. The last time the PLP was in power, we had landfill fires every other week. You know, when the FLM came in power, everything ceased. You know, it's like fire just disappeared. You know,
you mean there's no fire when the fire party is in office? You really believe that?
No, Mr. Lang, if you really consider, do a research. It's like there's hardly no fires. We don't hear about fires.
I can't tell you that I have ever had any reason to think about that, because I have never I've never observed any pattern that resembles that. But I mean, who knows? I don't know.
Okay, could somebody do a research on that and tell the nation, I mean, if that is a fucking case? Because it seems to me like there's hardly no fires when the FNM is in power, but when the PLP is in power, the place is burning down. I don't understand.
I hear you, brother. Thanks. Thank you very much. Thank you. I hear you. Thank you very much. we have another caller on the line. No?
Hello,
no other caller? Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead. Yes,
okay,
sir, I can hear
you. Good afternoon, I'm a former firefighter, more than from 20, 30 years ago. Spent time in the fire department.
Okay,
and,
thank you for calling.
One of the things that I learned when we had our training and so forth, because of the system, the fire hydrant system that we learned, that we know of, mostly was primarily for the refurbishing, refilling the trucks after incident. But in particular, we know that anytime the fire department has a fire on Bay Street and on Shirley Street, from Navy Lion Road, as a matter of fact, from Narrow Street all the way to Mackey Street, we know that if we ever have a fire in those two areas, the only water source to depend on is the sea.
Okay.
And I'm sure that after all these years, even after I've gone, that same message has been passed on to the new firefighters and the rest of them. Because the system that we use for fire hydrants is only nearly there as a fire hydrant. So that, in my understanding over the years, the trucks only can get water to refill the trucks. Because, you know what I'm saying? It's nothing at all. But I just thought I should share that, and also regards to the system of fire, my experience also with it is in the United States. I don't know if people would notice, they have different color fire hydrants. So different color fire hydrants in the United States means different amounts of pressure. You see what I'm saying? We only have one fire system, one water system, and that's it. You see? And so apart from the fire hydrant, there's also excavated wells. I don't know if anybody is aware of that. What is a well? Just like a well is a big open hole in the ground where you could get water from. There are some excavated wells around the place, but they are only in strategic location. But we know for a fact that once there's a fire on Bay Street or on Shirley Street, the only water source is the sea.
Do you think
to get that water there, You need, depending on whether if it's on Bay Street, you could use one truck just to bring water to Bay Street. If it's on Shirley Street, you can need two trucks to bring water to Shirley Street. Because of the distance, over a period of time, the pressure going to drop. So you got to be able to have intermediate trucks. You have a source truck, you have an intermediate truck, and you have a fire ground truck. You know what I'm saying? So those type of things. So I just thought I should share that information.
I appreciate it, but just can I ask you a question? Do you think we need more fire trucks?
Well, definitely. That has been a thing from when I was in the fire department fighting. We've been saying we need fire trucks. But there was also the concern, I always used to say that, well, as far as the commissioner at the time, who was supposed to be the fire officer, chief fire officer, as far as they're concerned, one fire truck back then was costing about $300,000 or $400,000. See, man said he could get about four or five cars with that. So, you know, it was always a thing that the fire department was like always put on the back burner.
I see.
See what I'm saying? And only if necessary, if they have to, instead of being a priority in terms of safety, not only as a safety for those who have to do the work, but as a safety for the community and the country at large.
I appreciate you calling, man. Very much so. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang, what's up, man?
Hey, right here, man. What's up?
Let me ask you a question. Lack of resources, or is there more of an issue with lack of maintaining and getting the parts to keep those resources going? Because if I recall, grandmama in particular, we have fire trucks. It's just that some ain't working.
Yeah, so we have fire trucks and some aren't working, that's true. But that doesn't mean even if those were working, we would have adequate numbers. So we don't know. That's why I said somebody has to do that analysis to tell us, if it hasn't been done already, what an adequate number for the circumstances of New Providence would be, for Grand Bahama, for Long Island, et cetera. But you're absolutely right, because the fire people told me that they had two fire trucks. This was in Grand Bahama when they were having their fires. Two fire trucks down and were waiting for some parts to come in for them.
Yeah, but you know, because everybody is pumping on, oh, we need to get fire trucks. Okay, we get fire trucks, within the next 6 months to a year, fire truck breakdown again, then what? We're right back to square one? So I think more emphasis should be placed on not just maintaining them, because I'm sure the officers, they want to maintain the trucks. It's just that the parts to maintain the trucks.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're funding something adequately, the parts ain't gonna be no problem. You can't. First of all, you can't tell me the Ministry of Finance can't find the money for parts for no fire truck.
I honestly know that, but when that is not on your radar,
exactly,
it's really a big issue.
Because first of all, you know, the parts are harder to find if the truck is really old, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of the problem too.
Yeah, and we know that government have an issue maintaining its buildings, its vehicles. Government does have an issue maintaining its property. It's not,
you know why? You know, you want me to tell you why? I'm glad you raised that. And don't hang up for me, because I want you to respond to this. You know why? Let me tell you why?
Please.
Because politicians believe that, you know, tell me if this is true or not. Do we not often say we need to do new things? And do you hear the public say that a lot?
Yeah.
Okay. So politicians always believe it's sexier to buy a new police car, build a new building. But so let me ask you a question. If I'm maintaining a police car for 10 years and you never see it, but it's being maintained, are you going to give me any props as a politician for that?
Well, that's a double-edged sword. Because what you could do, those old vehicles that you maintain, send them to the family island. They keep the new shiny.
No. You're missing my point. What I'm saying is, do you ever notice that the things that are maintained and stay working are the things that get the least amount of attention?
Yes, you're right.
So if I maintain things and they go work well, etc., generally speaking, when I'm campaigning, you can ask me, but what you do? But I could say, oh, I just built a new school. Mind you, all the other schools would build and maintain. But and breaking down. But I built a new school. I built a new hospital. Mine, the existing hospital, could use much more attention. But we believe you can give me more props for the new thing I just did than for spending money on a maintaining something you ain't gonna see.
Okay, you being in the system, how do we change that mindset?
Doing what you and I are doing right now. Talking and dialoguing and having very many conversations with Bahamians about how important maintenance is. You know something? In my home, I found that if I do maintenance, my repair bill is going to be much less over time.
But I was just going to give you an illustration. My washer went by the other day. It was banging all over the place. It was cheaper for me to go buy 4 new springs than to go buy a new washing machine.
Mm-hmm.
So,
again,
should we focus more on me as a homeowner, someone who pays bills? I appreciate the value of a dollar, and I appreciate the maintain it. Is it better for the country to buy new shiny things?
If I was the government of the Bahamas, I would create a line item for maintenance for every ministry in the government of the Bahamas, and I keep that line item a main focus of attention during the course of any budget debate. When my maintenance people are doing the maintenance on an annual, quarterly basis as they ought to do, I would do PR, relations-related things to that so that I could continuously impress on the public the importance of that. I create programs in our schools with respect to the students as to how important it is to maintain. And so over time, you're not going to get it right away, but over time, a culture of maintenance develops. Do you know I saw a video where an African gentleman was talking to a younger generation and asking them, what is this particular word in your language for maintenance? You know, there was not a word for maintenance. Not a word. He was making the point that maintenance is not even a cultural concept for many of Black peoples.
But maybe that's something that's a new word the Bahamas need to put into their vocabulary, and the Bahamas government need to put into their vocabulary. I need the press, maintenance of government buildings, maintenance of government vehicles, maintenance of, look at the Defense Force boats and going out to the boats, $1 million boats just park up.
Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you, man. Thanks for calling. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, after this news, this break. You're listening to Z Live.
I marched the car. The lady who run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available.
This April, Duncan is spreading awareness and support for autism awareness. Did you know that autism affects 1 in 54 children? It is so important to show our support. And you can show your support by grabbing a signature blue donut from any Duncan location during April. Join us in raising awareness and support for REACH and the Seahorse Institute. Duncan, fueling communities one blue donut at a time. The Bahamas runs on Duncan.
Winning on the court, just like investing, is about consistency and having the right partner. With RF's Advantage Plus brokerage account, you get exclusive access to high return securities, some yielding up to 7%, plus expert investment guidance. No need to chase every opportunity. We deliver priority trading, exclusive investments, and the lowest commissions, so you can focus on what matters most. Sign up for an RF Advantage Plus brokerage account today at rfgroup.com. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Make this Mother's Day extra special with Kelly's House and Homes Mother's Day sale Friday, May 2nd through Saturday, May 10th. Enjoy 20% off a beautiful selection of dinnerware, glassware, luggage, silk flowers, and picture frames, except on net items. These are all perfect and stylish gifts to show mom just how much she's loved. Hurry in and take advantage of Kelly's House and Homes 20% off Mother's Day sale Friday, May 2nd through Saturday, May 10th. Happy Mother's Day, all with love from Kelly's House and Home.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Can I tell you guys something? It's an update. So, you know, I had my bout with prostate cancer, which I had no symptoms that I'm aware of leading up to the diagnosis. And then I did the surgery and my prostate removed. And then doing the follow-up tests, had my tests to show an indication that I needed to do now some radiation treatment. And so I did the radiation treatment. A part of the radiation treatment also requires, so I did 2 months of radiation, about 20 minutes every day, 5 days of the week for 2 months. And then I had a shot, two shots. They are anti-androgen shots, they call them, because they essentially reduce the level of testosterone in your system, because testosterone has been shown to feed prostate cancer, right? So if you have high levels of testosterone, the cancer grows faster. So they give you this shot as a part of the treatment. So I did the shot. So a normal testosterone level is between 200 plus and 900 or so plus, right? That's normal. Mine is 10. You heard what I said, right? Normal is 200 plus to 900 plus. Mine is 10. That's why I'm saying that, because what happens is between that and the radiation, there's this chronic level of fatigue that I experience on a daily basis. And, you know, a part of that fatigue kicks in around about the show's time. And I don't know if you ever don't, because I make an extra effort to, you know, kind of do. But as I'm explaining it because I've been sharing with you this journey. It is a new and different reality for me to experience that, because, you know, I am not accustomed to experiencing low energy like that and fatigue like that. Right? It's something. But I understand it. I know why it is. So it's not an alarming thing for me. It is one of those things. And over time, the shots, I've done the last shot, it'll wear off over time. And so hopefully my nobody would give me a testosterone shot. The Dr. Roberts telling me now at the moment. So over time, it'll wear off, and then maybe things will turn back to normal. All right. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing?
Mr. Lang, the whole thing is priority. You know, for some reason, when it comes to emergency, all emergency sections of this country is lacking. For some reason, not just this government, but many governments tend to, because it's awakened, not that awakened properly, they turn a blind eye to it, or nothing major will happen, or when it comes to medical, police, all the same thing, lacking resources and equipment. So I don't know when we going to start to look at the country and the safety of the country in a more prioritized way. So I don't know.
It only is going to happen when your leadership has that mindset. And that critical leadership, let me tell you, right? People talk, but you could talk about any minister, this and minister that you want. The critical leadership in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance. Them two. And if they want in the same person. If it's a priority for them, it's a priority for them. If a minister can get them to make it a priority, then that'll get on the radar.
And another observation. You know, the fire truck is said to be expensive, right? But there's other means of getting water and you know, we saw like water truck, like they said in the last fire where they had to try use some people with the water trucks, which could pump. All fire don't need them sexy fire truck. You just need the means to exacerbate or to deal with the issue at hand. So we could get some cheaper oil, like the fellas say on
No, you gotta fight fire with the proper fire equipment, man. Ain't nothing like the right tools to do something. Nothing like it. And we don't have to be chinching like that, because the Bahamas ain't such that a cat. It had to be chinching like that. Do we have another call on the line? No. Says, so now he's politicizing the fires? Who's that? So he could do the research. Or you mean the more fire during the FNN, the PLP boy? I don't know. That's the strangest one I ever hear in a little while. It's an excellent idea regarding a maintenance line item for each ministry. As the saying goes, a stitch in time saves nine. Now, let me be clear. There is maintenance. There's maintenance provisions in the budget of the Bahamas, you know, but it is far too inadequate. Far too inadequate. Okay? So don't let me pretend there's not. There's maintenance provision in the budget for sure, but it's not adequate. Not adequate. Me serious about it. I know I can tell you we ain't all that serious about it. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We'll listen to. You know, and you know, you see all these young people and other people around the place, they ain't employed. They ain't putting them on the government payroll. But you got a lot of businesses that you could probably farm out this maintenance requirement for, let them engage these people. And so you could channel some government money to some needy people that way, since you have to do the maintenance anyhow. And you'll save lots on capital development over time if you do the maintenance right. You can farm out a great deal of significant maintenance. Ordinarily, if you own an apartment, they say the maintenance budget for the apartment should be about 5% of the annual revenue of the apartments. The government revenue is $3 billion. 5% of $3 billion. What that is? 1.15 million or something? Or something. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller.
What's the line?
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good, sir. How are you doing?
Right here, man. Right here.
Mr. Lang, you know, a lot of times, like, we got to think outside of the box. You know what I mean? I
I heard you mention about the maintenance. It's not going to be feasible, or it's not going to be where politicians will accept it because they don't have a chance to boast and brag about these new items they purchased. So if they maintain those stuff, no one will notice them, or you wouldn't get credit for it.
I was explaining what the present situation is.
Yes, I understand that. I know, okay. Let me ask you a question. The fire mm-hmm. sprinkler systems, would they normally have in those hotels? We require mm-hmm. to put them in our new buildings, especially these high-rise buildings?
I don't know. I can't say whether that's a requirement, but I seriously doubt that any sensible soul would do it without one, but I don't know if it's a requirement.
I know our schools, I don't think that there are none in our schools. And I wonder if any in that new part of the hospital. I heard that a text wrote, which was a serious point he made. But I think that we need to also have fire sprinklers in these buildings. And, I do agree that, we do need an adequate number of fire trucks and put in strategic places to deal with fire problems and populated islands like New Providence, Grand Bahama, and Abaco. But what about, I see like last year, Exuma had a fire, their fish fry sort of thing with them, and it was a bunch of stores burned down. Can we use some innovative ways to minus the fire trucks to fight fires?
But let me ask you a question. Sure. Would you agree that a fire truck is the best way to fight the fire?
To fight the fire?
Would you agree that having a fire truck is the best way to fight the fire?
Yes, I think it's the number one.
Okay. Okay, so why do we have to come up with creative ways when we can afford the way we can do it properly? We can afford that.
I agree, Mr. Lang. I do agree. But family islands with our population spread out, just a few numbers. It isn't as big as New Providence, right? We get a few numbers in some of those family islands. And people are really spread out. Are you gonna put 4 and 5 fire trucks in Elutra or Exuma?
Well, you might need 4 or 5 because if they spread out depending on how they are situated, the risk of fire goes down. So if you have a couple, maybe that's sufficient. And then within a particular community that's really sparse, yeah, maybe you can have some alternative provision that can help when a fire does spring up. Yeah.
See, Mr. Lang, right now, right, and I'm not going to turn it. I heard you said somebody must be wrote and said they want to turn it political, right? I'm not turning this political. But see, I watched you during the 2007 FNM term to 2012. I watched you was so innovative that whilst the economy was sort of sluggish, whilst the United States economy was going through a little drought, I watched you created ways where every community in Nassau, you had like 10 or 20 guys, them had contracts doing cleaning up, and they was able to bring plenty of funds in their own community. So
how you scored that I was doing that.
I saw, you remember when Bradley Roberts, he was condemning you for that. Say, all you're doing is putting cutlets in people's hands. But look how that benefit the country. Look how that benefit the local community is. The money was trickled down straight in these communities. And we didn't feel that effect what the United States was going through. I see and then not only that, but look at Mr. Ingram. Mr. Ingram built some, in terms of fires, he built some police stations, and every one of them had included fire trucks. You remember that?
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah, like the one in Cable Beach and them, yeah.
Cable Beach, Elizabeth Estates,
Settlers Way and Heritage.
You understand? So when I talk about being innovative, I think like you need to find innovative ways to serve your country. We find ways to make it look for us to celebrate and have a good time. Some of us when we in office, but you have some of us who really work hard. And I listen to your solutions, and I did listen to a part of the show with Hiram Grant or something like that. And you know, I listened to all of those solutions, and you know what? Who's not the first person came to mind? The leader of the Free National Movement, Michael Pindad. I said all of these things are things that Mr. Pindad is actually striving for and known to do to try and alleviate the stress on BMN people.
I got you, brother. I got to run. We got another couple of calls on the line. Appreciate you calling. Thank you, my line. Go ahead, call him. Hi, hello. Yes, go ahead, call him.
Hey, you are good. You are good at right in there.
All right, give me the next caller, please. Give me the next caller. Give me the next caller, please, producer.
Hi, good day.
Hi, caller, go ahead. Hi, caller.
Yes. Absence of evidence is evidence to the contrary. You said something that the government cannot afford to not afford the fire trucks, meaning that they can't afford the fire trucks. So
I never said that. You might have heard somebody else say that, but not me.
Why are we still in this state? Is it intentional for us to be in a position to have a third world country so we can have more investors come in? Is it a prerequisite for the IDB or something? Because you look around and you see most of these major resorts, they're going up in record time with these breaking edge technologies, and you know the tourists come and they enjoy it more than anywhere else in the world. The Bahamas is the number one destination. But we as people who live and who we work, we trod through the country every day. We are still ill-afforded the basic necessities where, I mean, I'm not going to feed into the fire frenzy, but it's very unfortunate for what's happening to these people for the loss of property and the loss of, you know, displacing shelter and all that stuff. But why, as citizens of one of the in the world, we're just over the hill from these billion-dollar edifices that we can't afford just basic necessities. And it just has to happen where, I don't know if it's a coincidence where it's during election time or if it's even a governmental problem. But, I mean, 20 years later, 40 years later, 60 years later, we are absolutely worse off in some areas. Then we shouldn't even be having a conversation about. Please speak to if this is intentional or not. Thank you for taking my call.
It's not. Thank you. It's not intentional. I mean, it might be neglect, but it ain't intentional. I don't know that anyone is sitting around going, "Oh, I have to do this like this because I need the IDB." That'd be ridiculous, actually. And the IDB don't need us to not have adequate fire equipment to be able to lend to us. As a matter of fact, the IDB lends to us because we cannot borrow from those entities that only give to poor countries. That's why we go to the IDB, because we are able to borrow from them. So no, that's not a theory that has any merit whatsoever. But I do understand, I'm told by government minister that they are aiming to purchase fire apparatus for all of the island. That's what I've just been informed, okay? Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hey, minister.
Hey, what do you say, man?
I didn't call for you. Minister, tell me something. Just say, I agree with you and those of those who know and believe that we could afford to get 20 or whatsoever amount of them we need right now with a clip of a finger. Suppose we didn't have the money. It ain't a way that if we were saying we didn't have the money on hand, we could credit them, right?
No, you can't credit them, but you can borrow money to get them. You can borrow money to get them. If you needed $30 million to get them equipment, man, you can borrow that money.
And China and America would be glad to work with us, eh?
Oh, please. In fact, you mentioned the Chinese. The Chinese, you could probably get 100 of them trucks at the Chinese, and the Chinese would fund it for you at 2-3%.
Why are they making it seem like it's so difficult? Then making us out here, we're being smart, like some people, we thinking like they really don't care about us. Why are they making it so difficult?
I know. I honestly, it's not a matter of people not caring. I think it's focus, right? It's focus. So yeah, just remember, in your own life...
It's like the baby, you feed the baby, but you know you got to belch the baby, right?
Yeah, but listen, man, but even though that might have some merit to it, the example may not be intact. If you have a government deciding to build a hospital, to build clinics, to build this, build that, okay, so that's where their focus is, though maybe hospitals... Yes, it may be possible, but again, you can only do something the same time if all of the things are your focus.
That's why I tell you, if you can't focus on anybody but no gun here to come take these kind of jobs, if you can't focus on it, I mean, why we get you there? I mean, you're making us think you don't care or you ain't focused enough. Tell me something, the private sector. Can the private sector Can the private sector do anything with this problem we have?
Can I tell you that the Minister of National Security has indicated to me that they are attempting to purchase fire apparatus for all islands of the Bahamas. He has just said that to me.
You mean the present minister?
The present minister, the Honorable Wayne Monroe, has indicated that. So that is their present effort right now, he's saying.
Some people say better late than never, right? But why are we talking about
if you're doing it, you're doing it. If you're doing it, you do it. Thank God.
Hey,
call every success.
You know, Vinny, over Paradise Island, they just keep armaments to the hotel just in case the guests, the tourists, them, like a fire engine.
I don't know, but I don't think so.
Tell me something. You remember Mara Martin, Miami, Florida, the other day, gave us some emergency vehicles. Any of them was fire engine?
I don't think so. Yeah, I remember that.
I don't know why. I don't know why. Everything is important. It's like covering the fixed, what you call the walls, the walls on the outside of the island. What you call that?
I don't know, bro.
Okay.
Oh, you mean the sea walls? The sea walls. You mean the sea walls?
All right. You might have roads to fix. You might have other things to fix. All is important.
I am plumb out of time, Papa. Thanks, man. Appreciate you calling, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. God spares life. We'll be back tomorrow. Please do well.
See Live Off the Record with Chivago Lang is brought to you by City of Hope, Conet Bahamas, Dunkin' Donuts, Kelly's Home Center, Pindotel, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, Raw Star Assurance, Southwest Plaza, and Star General, Insurance Made Simple.